Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Father, again, we thank you for your word and thank you for how that your word guides us, counsels us. It helps us to see clearly, to understand correctly, and to react wisely. Thank you, Father, for the continued counsel of your word. More and more stir us as your church to hear that counsel, to walk in it. Help us to courageously trust you, look to you, and be guided by your word moment by moment. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit who is empowering us to be your vessels in the earth to do your will. We ask that just do a special work in the heart of every listener as they hear your wisdom today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, as always, it's a privilege and an honor to have you as a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession. And we want to continue to remind and encourage you to, in the midst of all that's going on in our culture, in the midst of everything we see as it relates to the coronavirus and all the consequences that have come about and things that have been done in response to it, we want to remind you, keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Don't keep your focus on the coronavirus. Keep your focus on Jesus, because that's where it always needs to be. And Jesus is Lord over our lives. He's Lord over the world, and he's bigger than the coronavirus as well. And so let's follow the counsel of God's word, in which God tells us time and time again, fear not. In other words, don't be afraid. Don't be full of fear, but keep your faith and trust in the Lord. And many times in the course of the day, tell the Lord, Lord, I trust you. And I would challenge you to speak Psalm 23 several times a day, not just reminding yourself of what it says, but standing on the promises of Psalm 23 as well. I want to take a moment to pray the Psalm 91 prayer. And as we pray it, I want to remind you too, if you'd like to get a copy so you can begin to pray it, and we're challenging and encouraging you to pray it every day over yourself and over your family as well, but praying the Psalm 91 prayer is a very wise way to put your spiritual weaponry to work to stand against not only the coronavirus, but any and all other things the devil will try to bring against you to hurt or harm you in life. This is, again, the email to get the prayers, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. But let's take time to pray it now over ourselves. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, we will say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us, to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer for you to use to pray over yourself and over your family and over your church family every day, the email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send it to you, and we look forward to getting it into your hands. We're blessed to have as our phone guest today, once again, Attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. Alan, how are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Joseph, for having me on with you today.
Oh, great to have you on. As always, it's a privilege to have you on and the great work that you and the Justice Foundation are doing. If you would, Alan, take a moment now and introduce yourself and further introduce the ministry and the work of the Justice Foundation.
Well, thank you very much again. I am the president of the Justice Foundation. I am a licensed attorney, to practice in the state courts of Texas and federal courts, and in the United States Supreme Court, which is where most of our work is occurring at this time, we're going to be talking about today. I'm also a licensed minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I feel very, very blessed to be having two licenses and to be able to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. The Justice Foundation is a 501c3, meaning it's a charitable organization. We represent people in cases at no charge to them because people, Christians on the outside, donate to us, and then we provide free legal services to people. And we specialize today particularly in pro-life cases and sometimes religious liberty cases as well. And so that's me and the Justice Foundation in a nutshell.
Okay. And, you know, Alan, you know, on a number of occasions when we've had the privilege of having you on, time and time again, I really appreciate you sharing about the work that the way the Lord has used one small part of your ministry insofar. Well, I say small. It's actually a very important and a critically important part. But you produced the letters called the Dear Parent Letter and the Dear Client Letter. But share with our listeners what that letter explains.
Well, thank you. It basically prevents forced abortions from occurring. And forced abortion is already illegal everywhere in America. The problem is it's not known widely that it is illegal. And so we've prepared these Dear Parent letters and a Dear Client letter that tells people that it's illegal. And I'll explain. And most people, you think, oh, forced abortion couldn't occur in America. But when I explain the three ways it does, you'll think, oh, well, yeah, sure, of course. The number one and the most common way that we deal with is adult parents forcing a minor woman underage to have an abortion against her will. So that's number one. And the Dear Parent letter explains all the law and is addressed to that parent, saying what you're doing is illegal, and it's not what you now know your daughter's pregnant. It's not what you wanted to happen, but you cannot force her to have an abortion, or you may be guilty of illegal behavior. And we explain how she can get healthy alternatives to abortion, and it's not the end of the world. You're not alone, but you cannot say things like, I don't care what you say. You're having this abortion. I've made the appointment. I'm taking you. That's not a voluntary abortion. Only voluntary abortions are legal in America. Involuntary abortions are illegal. Another thing parents often say is, I don't care what you say, if you don't have this abortion, I'm kicking you out of my house. That's very common. And the parents are mad at the beginning, but that violates the law under the family code in every state to care for their child until they reach the age of majority. You can't kick a child out on the street for having a problem. You have to put them in a safe place. You could send them to a maternity home, and we help get places like that for women. or you could send her to live with a relative, but you can't just say, I'm kicking out on the street, and you're trying to force her to get what you want done. That's coercion. So the Dear Parent letter stops about 95% of those, and if it doesn't stop it, we can get a lawyer for the young woman to go to court to stop it. Mm-hmm. Then the second major common way it happens in America is an adult man forcing an adult woman to abort his child. And we think of it as a woman's choice, and it is, but he says, I don't care what you think, you're getting an abortion. Sometimes they take a gun or threaten to beat the woman. Mm-hmm. And domestic violence is very prevalent against pregnant women. Mm-hmm. And often it's to get them to have an abortion. That's illegal in every state. Mm-hmm. Any pressure or coercion that enforces his will, because he doesn't want to pay child support or he doesn't want another baby, she wants it and he doesn't, she gets to keep that baby. It's her decision under current law. And he could be penalized very severely in some states with murder for mm-hmm. killing the child in the womb. The only woman who can kill a child in the womb in America is the woman and the abortionist that she hires to do it because of the Supreme Court Roe v. Wade case, which we're going to talk about later because we want that case reversed. But and then I'll talk about just the third type of forced abortion. And we have a letter called the Dear Father of the Child for that male forcing a woman to abort his child case. We have that, and it stops most abortions. And then the third type of case is human trafficking or prostitution, where we don't know who the father is, but the pimp or prostitute or the pimp or trafficker is forcing the woman to have an abortion because he wants to keep her in business. And the human trafficking victims have told how they're often forced to have abortions, and it imposes even greater travesty on the woman and introduces death into her life, where many of them, as hard as this may seem, in that difficult situation of human trafficking, some of them would cling to the human life of bringing life out of death, life out of darkness. And sometimes it even gets her out of the pimping and trafficking if she can be protected through the process. So we work on all those things to prevent forced abortion in America. And if one of your listeners would like to call us, our phone number is 866-4-OUTCRY, 866, the number 4-OUTCRY, and you can use that throughout this call, this television program or later, or our website, thejusticefoundation.org, thejusticefoundation.org.
Okay, okay. And I would like to challenge every listener to go to the website and get a copy of the Dear Parent Letter, the Dear Client Letter as well, because many don't realize how tragically common, as Alan mentioned, the tragedy of forced abortion is. Alan, just this past weekend, our church we were involved in doing something in our community and met a young lady who was crying and upset, and she was expecting, and her boyfriend had pulled a gun on her. And sadly, time and time again, you have young men that will be boyfriends or that will say, I'm not ready to be a daddy. You're going to get this abortion. And sadly, again, many, as you mentioned, don't know that it's against the law to coerce a woman. If she wants to keep her baby, it's against the law to coerce her to get an abortion.
That's absolutely right. And there are domestic violence units among the police. If someone's pulled a gun on you, I urge you call the police right away. Mm-hmm. Call a domestic abuse shelter. Call the police, call the Justice Foundation. We can help some, but we've got to get you a local, even though we're national, we got to find you a local home, a local shelter, and get a restraining order against a person like that. And get, if it's gone that far, we need the police help right away.
Okay. We'll pick up there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest is Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back.
From getting through. We do. that you could see it all made new. We do. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming?
The music of Andrew Peterson, Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. Alan, as we begin this segment, would you take time specifically to pray for listeners to have ears to hear all that the Lord would share with them and that they'd be open to what God would have them to do as a result of what they hear and learn today?
Amen. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, open our ears as we talk about abortion and the Supreme Court, as we talk about life and death, forgiveness, repentance, healing, and your sacrifice on the cross, even, Lord, to cover up all of our sins, even the sin of abortion. Open our eyes, open our ears. Let us hear what we need to hear. Let us see what we need to see. Let us do what we need to do.
Jesus.
Give us and the Supreme Court of the United States courage to do the right thing.
Yes.
And help us help women instead of introducing them to the door of death through abortion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you. Thank you for every person listening. And thank you for the privilege we have in being able to hear your truth and walk in obedience to it. Father, you told us in the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments was, you shall not murder. Help us as a nation to hear that word and to do it. Help us to not be a murdering nation, Lord, but help us to be a nation that hears you and walks in love and in obedience to you continually. Flood us with your light, your peace, your grace, and mercy. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Alan, would you share with our listeners again, if they would like to learn more about the Justice Foundation, again, your email and your website?
Thank you. It's thejusticefoundation.org, or you can Google the Justice Foundation and it comes up, but thejusticefoundation.org, and that's the best place to get all of our resources about how to stop forced abortion, which we talked about in the previous segment. And you can download the Dear Parent letter and pass it out among your youth group or something. And so the girls are empowered with legal truth that forced abortion is illegal. We've got Operation Outcry on there, which is women who've been hurt by abortion giving us legally admissible written testimonies, which we then take to courts and legislatures, including courts like the Supreme Court of the United States that we're going to talk about. And it has The Moral Outcry, which is a campaign that anyone listening can join us by signing a petition asking the U.S. Supreme Court to reverse Roe v. Wade, and your signature becomes evidence, and you help explain the reasons to America why we should reverse Roe v. Wade at this time.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if someone wants to, for example, sign the petition, they can go to your website to do that then, correct?
Yes, it's all at the Justice Foundation, and that project is called the Moral Outcry Petition. And everything I know about abortion came about when I started the Operation Outcry Ministry. God called us to represent women who've been hurt by abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, as I prayed, he gave me this scripture. In the year 2000, I went to my first March for Life ever in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and it deeply impacted me. And in the airport on the way home to San Antonio, where I live,
mm-hmm.
You fly from Dallas and sit in the airport and get on a plane to San Antonio to just get where I live. And so in the airport, it hit me that God, that women who'd been hurt by abortion would be able to give the testimony that abortion hurts women, mm-hmm. that it's not good for women. The pro-life movement had been showing it's a human being. Science can demonstrate it's a member of our species, and it's human like we are. Human fathers and human mothers produce humans.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment of conception, it's a human. It's not an amphibian. It's not an egg. It's nothing but a human in a smaller form, just like we were babies once when we were infants in the womb. And even the Supreme Court has admitted, because of the testimony of women that we took to the Supreme Court in a case called Gonzalez v. Carhart back in 2007, the court said some women come to regret aborting the infant life they once created and sustained.
Hmm.
Severe depression and loss of esteem can follow.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what it is in the womb. The Supreme Court says when you abort a baby, you're aborting an infant life,
hmm.
and you can hurt yourself as a woman. So we have lots of better alternatives for women that I hope we can talk about. Well, maybe we just need to do it right now. If a woman is considering an abortion, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And many women who are pregnant are terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a woman who just lost her job. Like 22 million Americans this month have been laid off, and
mm-hmm.
she's pregnant. Maybe she's alone. She's a single mother. Maybe she already has a child. What is she going to do with that baby? And in some areas, the numbers of abortions go up when there's a panic, because women are vulnerable in that situation. That's why the best plan is for a man and woman to get married, to commit themselves and their life to God. And then when they get pregnant, which is inevitable generally after having sex, that's a product. That's what God intended sex to produce, children.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That doesn't always happen, but that's why you get married, and that's why you should be expecting children
mm-hmm.
in due time. We can talk about infertility later, but most often you get a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with that baby? Well, the devil's answer is fear and death. Kill the baby. Take care of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the thousands of women that I know, we've collected the testimonies since 2000. We now have 4,660 of them. We put them into a brief in front of the Supreme Court in the Louisiana abortion case, which was argued before them on March 4th. And they're writing the decision right now about what are we going to do with abortion in this country? Well, 4,660 women told him, please uphold the laws like Louisiana's, which restricts abortions a little bit. It's really just a woman's protection case. But also ban abortion. Reverse your Roe v. Wade case. And here's a better alternative for a woman today. If you don't have a job and you're pregnant and you don't know what to do, here's an immediate answer that costs you nothing. An abortion is expensive, and you don't have any money. Well, use your state's safe haven law. First of all, if you don't have a job and you're alone, you qualify for free prenatal care. Call your Department of Health right away. Call the Justice Foundation at 1-866-4-OUTCRY. We'll help you find where that place is in your state. Every state gives free Medicaid. Some call it different things, like Medi-Cal in California, whatever. You can get free prenatal care. Don't worry about who's going to pay your doctor bills. If you don't have a job, you don't have someone helping you pay for things, our society will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the baby's care. Who's going to pay for delivery? Medicaid will pay for that if you're poor. and you don't have a source, you don't have insurance or something to pay for it, you won't be left alone to take care of yourself. You feel alone, but there are many, many. There's 3,000 or more pregnancy resource centers in America that will help you. We can get you in touch with them. And then when the baby's born, if you can't take care of the baby, use the Safe Haven Law in all 50 states. You can simply release the baby to society. If you can't take care of it, you're the only one that can bring that baby to life. You're the only one that can care for that child while it's in you. We help you as a society pay for it, bring life. You release the baby to society through the Safe Haven Law in every state. For example, Texas, where we're headquartered, and Louisiana, where this law came from, you can walk out of the hospital that Medicaid pays for free and say, I'm going to safe haven the baby. You please take her. And what it does, it allows you to walk out of the hospital or have up to 60 days after birth. You can see, well, how do I do as a mother? Can I take care of her? Do I have a job? You can wait up to 60 days in Texas and Louisiana. It's as short as 3 days in other states like California, so you might have to make it more quickly, or up to a year in North Dakota. But within a set period of time, by law, you can give it to a hospital or fire station and say, here, I release my baby to you. It's free. It's no legal obligation. You don't have to be labeled a bad mother. And it's unlike an expensive $500 to $1,000 abortion or more, mm-hmm. depending on where you live. You don't have to pay anything. Just give the baby safely to the state. And then what will happen to the baby? Well, this goes back to what we talked about infertility a little bit earlier. There are actually 10% of American women between the ages of 15 and 44, the childbearing ages, who can't have a baby. Mm-hmm. So that's 6 million women a year who are getting infertile. And the definition is they can't have a baby after a year of trying. Sometimes they can't conceive. Sometimes they have miscarriages. But they can't have a baby. So out of the 6 million, after a year or two, up to 2 million of them say, I want to adopt a baby. I can't have a baby. Where is a baby for me? And so the woman who's pregnant today and says, I can't take care of a baby. Don't kill the baby. Don't hurt yourself. Please give us the baby. Give society a baby. Give the hospital that's closest to you or the fire station closest to you, wherever you live in America. This is available everywhere. And you can say, give the baby to them. The state will say, great, no questions asked. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to justify it to us. Give us the baby, and then we will transfer the baby to those millions of homes and families who are waiting to love a baby. Mm-hmm. So it's justice for the baby and love for the baby. It's mercy for the woman and love for the woman. Give us the baby if you can't take care of it. Or under the law, it's even if you don't want to take care of it. You don't have to explain your reason. Mm-hmm. And then it's love for the families that are waiting to adopt newborn children. So we have a far better alternative to abortion. But the abortion industry won't tell women about this. And mm-hmm. I thank you, Pastor Parker, for letting us come on the air and tell every woman in every state listening to this program, she doesn't have to kill the baby in abortion to get herself freedom and liberty from having to care for the child after the baby's born. Mm-hmm. There is that liberty under the Safe Haven laws without killing the baby and injuring herself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Alan, if someone is wanting to learn more again about just some of the many projects that you're in, or if someone wants to give financially to support the work that you're doing, how could they find out how to do that?
Well, thank you. And thank you to those who might want to give to us. We do need to have people donate to us, because like when I've been saying I'm going to help these ladies and work through the Safe Haven laws with them and prevent forced abortion, we have to have an office that's open and phone lines and staff to help the women do that. So if you want to help a woman avoid a forced abortion, or you want a woman who has had an abortion find help and healing and then give her testimony to the Supreme Court and have truthful witnesses then people can go to our website at thejusticefoundation.org, thejusticefoundation.org, and there'll be a button that says donate if you'd like to donate, and you can click right on there. Or it also tells you where if you'd like to mail a check. You can get that on the website. But the easiest way is to make a little donation online. Any amount would be deeply, deeply appreciated. And if the Lord has really, really, really blessed you with abundance, then abundant giving would be graciously accepted. And you could help many, many, many children be saved. We estimate we're saving 1,000 to 2,000 babies a year through the Center Against Forced Abortion, because we have our own staff, but we've trained 3,000, we've given legal materials to 3,000 pregnancy resource centers across the nation, and we've trained about 500 to 800 of them with one-hour trainings even. But we've provided the legal services and a one-hour training to 3,000 across the nation, and that's why we can say we're estimating 1,000 to 2,000 babies a year being saved.
Okay.
And
all
the
right.
women, the mothers.
All right. Well, our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back after this break. Hezekiah Walker, Moving Forward. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, would you share with our listeners one more time, if they want to get in touch with you or support the work of the Justice Foundation, how can they learn more about the ministry or be in touch to do those things?
Thank you, Pastor Parker. That's so good. That was a great song. Jesus is the healer. And we've talked about abortion a lot, and if people would like to contact us to tell their abortion story or to get help because they're considering abortion and they want a better alternative for themselves and the child, and or if they would like to donate, or if they want help because they've had an abortion and they need help to recover from the trauma, if this is bringing up terrible feelings for you about your abortion, your suffering, maybe you never told anybody about it except maybe your husband or something, but you just have never really shared and you want to talk about abortion, through our website, thejusticefoundation.org, you can find all these resources to help you in any one of those situations. thejusticefoundation.org, and you can call us at 866, that's a toll-free number, 866, the number 4, outcry, outcry, because it's time to cry out for help. If you need it, please call us and we'll help you. We can get you to a 24/7 helpline manned by women who've had abortions to talk with you about your abortion and find abortion recovery that's free in your area, or you can make a donation if you want to, but crying out to God. If you're a woman who's had an abortion and you've been healed and you want the America to know the truth that abortion hurts you, in this segment, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court case called the Louisiana abortion case, where we've given 4,660 testimonies to the court. And how do we overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So if I might, Pastor Parker, just go back and talk about the Louisiana abortion case in a little bit of a detail.
Please
do. It started out as a small thing in a small state, Louisiana. It's a great state, but, you know, it's not that big compared to Texas. And there's my Texas arrogance coming in, forgive me, Lord. But anyway, it's a great state. And in 2014, they had a simple little law. Well, we've got abortions. We, as a state of Louisiana, wish we didn't have any abortions, but the Supreme Court says, yeah, it is a woman's choice, so she has the right. Well, let's make it safe for women. So they passed a law, and women who'd had an abortion, like Cynthia Collins of Louisiana, head of the Louisiana Abortion Recovery Group and a member of Operation Outcry, which is part of our ministry, she told her testimony to the Louisiana legislature. And she said that she went to abortionists. She began to bleed after the abortion, as many women do, hemorrhaging and punctured uteruses and punctured colons are a recognized byproduct or side effect of abortion. Even though the abortion industry admits it. But they'd rather just dump the women in the emergency room. So she was bleeding. She went back. She talked to them and said, I'm still bleeding. She said, well, shut up and shut the door. You're not our problem anymore. She had to go to an emergency room, get herself there, and have surgery as a result of her abortion. Well, what Louisiana said is, okay, we're going to require the abortionist to have hospital admitting privileges in order to protect women for continuity of care. If you are a pregnant woman and you have a miscarriage, your doctor might put you in the hospital for a D&C afterwards, but he would go with you, or he would admit you, or he'd call the hospital and talk about it. The abortionists don't do that. We're just a mill. We just shuffle them through 5 to 6 minutes. And this is the testimony in Louisiana abortion case, that doctors never see the woman. It's not the decision between a woman and her doctor. They see him when he's somewhat crude, but this is abortion, when he's between her legs performing an abortion, which should be... Anyway, so they said, you got to have hospital admitting privileges. And the abortion industry said, no, no, no. We're going to sue to set aside this health and safety regulation. We don't care what the legislature thinks. We don't even care what women think, because we don't have a woman client. We'll go ourselves. And we'll assert third-party standing, saying, oh, women really wouldn't want this to happen because there's so few abortion clinics. It'll shut down all the abortion industry. Well, first of all, so that's one of the big issues. Should the abortion industry be able to sue to set aside health and safety regulations for the protection of women without consulting women or having a woman client? That's called the third-party standing. And the other is, if they get to sue, if they don't have third-party standing, if they can't sue saying women don't want this without having any women in the case is over. We win. But if they can sue, then the question is, do you have to have hospital admitting privileges? And think about this. Abortion is a crime against humanity, and most doctors know it. The reason that there would be abortion, maybe only one facility left, is there's thousands of hospital-admitted obstetricians and gynecologists in Louisiana. Thousands of them. In order to be an obstetrician, you kind of have to have hospital-admitting privileges, right? Because most babies are born in a hospital today. So why don't those doctors do abortions? Because they know it's killing a human being. They know it. They see the baby parts when they're put together, which the doctor has to do after a surgical abortion. And to make sure there's no dead baby body parts in the baby in the mother's womb, he's got to count them all and put them together and see if he got the arms and the legs. This is why it's so gruesome. The abortion industry has trouble training people to go through there and look at the baby pieces, because it's obviously a baby. Has a head and arms and legs, even at 6 to 8, 10 weeks when most abortions are performed. All right. So the law is reasonable and rational, but they went ahead and sued. At the fifth, the trial court struck it down. the Fifth Circuit upheld it and cited Cindy Collins' testimony. Mm-hmm. Then it went to the Supreme Court, and on March 4th, it was argued. And I want to go back to that scripture, or when I told you that I was led by the Lord to call to collect women's testimonies mm-hmm. back in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And I prayed, Lord, do you really want me to do this? And eventually he led me to Isaiah 28:20. It starts Isaiah 28:14, though. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So God is speaking to scoffers or mocking who rule, some translations say judge. So he's talking to mocking judges, and he says, because you've said, this is what the judges said, mm-hmm. we've made a covenant with death, and with Sheol, the grave, we've made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. Mm-hmm. That's what Roe and Doe are, a mm-hmm. covenant with death. The two mm-hmm. cases that brought abortion to America is a covenant with death made by the Supreme Court of the United States. Mm-hmm. And they don't think the scourge will reach them because they've covered themselves with falsehood. Mm-hmm. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Okay, that's Jesus, the cornerstone. Mm-hmm. If you've had an abortion, Jesus came and died to forgive your sins. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is accept him as your Savior and Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. My God, what have I done? Forgive me. Repent and turn to him and say, I want to follow you, Jesus. Make me a child of yours by following Jesus. Mm-hmm. So then he says, I will make justice the measuring line, righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. Waters will overflow the secret place. Your covenant with death will be canceled. Your agreement with the grave will not stand. This is still God speaking. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become its trampling place. As often as it passes through, it will seize you. Morning by morning, it, which is the overwhelming scourge, will pass through any time during the day or night, and it will be sheer terror to understand what this message means. Mm. Well, the Supreme Court shut down the week after they heard the Louisiana arguments. On March 4th, they heard the argument, and the next week, Monday, they shut down because of the overwhelming, what our president has called, a scourge mm-hmm. of the coronavirus, because it is. Mm-hmm. And they had to cancel all the oral arguments in March, all the oral arguments in April. They're just locked into their own little places. They're meeting by telephone or teleconference. They're not even meeting together. They're afraid, like so many people are, of this terror of this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And Pastor, this may be difficult for some people to hear and believe and say, but I know this. Let me say that. I know God hates the shedding of innocent blood mm-hmm. because he says that in Proverbs 16:7. I know that God has punished his own people, the nation of Israel in the past, because they shed innocent blood from mm-hmm. one end of Jerusalem to another. I know that God's word says, as you quoted earlier, we shall not murder, mm-hmm. and that it's an infant life in the womb. Mm-hmm. So I know that God hates the sheddings of blood. Now I'm going to give my opinion, and I believe that the coronavirus is part of God's judgment on America for shedding the innocent blood. Hmm. We've committed four great sins that can bring national destruction. We have forsaken our covenant with God, and the Supreme Court did that in 1962 in the school prayer case, said we don't want you anymore. Number two, we've shed innocent blood. That was 1973. We've committed sexual immorality, which is the third great sin on a great scale. And fourth, we're guilty of greed. And one of the reasons God has shut down the economic system, if the things we've made an idol, like sports idols, mm-hmm. God's taken them away. Mm-hmm. Music idols, God's taken it away. Money, mammon, greed, God's taken away our economy. Mm-hmm. And he's going to eventually leave us. There are only two choices in life, life or death. Mm-hmm. You choose God or you're a prisoner of Satan. You're in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of light. Mm-hmm. And we need to be praying for the Supreme Court, and we need to pray for our nation, for repentance and revival, and to stop the shedding of innocent blood.
Alan, would you take, our time is almost gone, would you pray for the Supreme Court before our time runs out today?
Thank you. We're commanded to pray for those in authority in 1 Timothy, and we often pray for the president. Father, forgive us never not remembering to pray for the Supreme Court. Help us to pray every day between now and June 30th. This decision can be changed any day until it becomes public. Father, we lift up the Supreme Court to you. We pray for wisdom. We pray for true justice. We pray for righteousness. We pray for an end to the shedding of innocent blood. We pray for victory in the Supreme Court in the Louisiana case. We pray for salvation for anyone who is on the court, who works at the court, who does not know you as Savior. We pray for healing and repentance for everyone who has had an abortion, who's paid for an abortion, who's participated in abortion, and for all of us who have not done enough to oppose abortion. We pray for repentance to come to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Convict the world of sin and judgment and righteousness.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. I pray for a great revival at the court and in America. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan. And again, thank you again for just the wisdom and the insights you shared. And thank you for the ongoing work of the Justice Foundation. Share with our listeners one more time if they'd like to pray for or support the ministry of the Justice Foundation. How can they do that?
TheJusticeFoundation.org. And we would love to work with them to help people across this country.
All right. Thank you so much, Alan, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray for the work of Attorney Alan Parker and the Justice Foundation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.